Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to Fathers of the Grind. My name is Tim Nestor. This is Derek Teague.
Hello.
And we are back, finally back. I think it's been a while since we've talked, but for the listeners, they don't notice a difference because it'll be coming out, I think, at the same time this week. But things for me, at least, are changing quite a bit on a personal level for the better. But I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So, Derek, thanks for being flexible with your schedule to meet our recording. And all I know is if we don't hit our episode release date, the masses will revolt. That's what's happened last time, at least. So,
and by masses, he means Crank Flark.
Good old Crank Flark.
Gets up in arms and starts yelling about something.
I remember the first time I met good old Crank. What a guy.
He was a great guy.
So yeah, thank you guys for sticking with us. And again, and I know we say this every week, but I can't emphasize it enough. If you want to join the conversation, we've got some great posts and comments and back and forths happening on our Facebook page. And we'd love to have you guys join. Even if you just want to join and then kind of lurk and observe and see the conversation, don't feel like you have to post a ton or comment a ton, although we encourage you to. We just want you to join in and see what conversation's happening. And we'd love for you to join in there. So, it is now summertime. By the time this is going to come out, we are going to be looking at May 30th, May 31st. We're heading into the summer months. Most people, if they have kids in school, the summer season for their kids is beginning, so they're going to have kids home all the time. Maybe vacation kicks in. The warmer weather, of course, unless you're from Florida, which is ridiculous. Why would you live in Florida?
Trash.
So summertime is coming. So I wanted to ask you, just kind of real quickly to kick things off here, what was summer gaming like for you? Did gaming change for you when you were a kid, a teenager, a college student even, gaming? And what about for your family now with your kids? Does screen time in general change when school gets out?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say for my kids during the summer they get to game much more, because even though my daughter's now 12, we don't like to leave all three of them home alone. Because my kids are really, really vicious. And so if we leave them alone...
They come by it honestly, though, man. I mean,
I truly believe one of them would kill the other one. Mm. So, and Emily, even though I love her to death, she's not... Like, the most responsible child I have is my soon-to-be 10-year-old, Ian. Like, I would trust him if he was the 12 or 13-year-old. But I don't trust my oldest. Not a knock on her, it's just her personality. She's not... really the protector or the type that would take like a leadership role to make sure everything's good. So that being said, sorry, that was really
Is
long.
She in the room and you're actually lecturing her right now? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I'm trying to let her know.
I thought maybe she was sitting there and you're pretending to podcast, but you're really laying on a dad lesson.
Emily, we need to talk about this summer. But yeah, so with that being said, that means that they are in some type of childcare, summer care, which is kind of like school. Like, they're gone for the same amount of hours.
Just no homework, so basically.
Just no homework. So they'll get a little bit, maybe a little bit more gaming, just because we generally don't have a ton of sports during the summer. I'm saying that, like, cautiously, because I know my wife's planning stuff now, so they're probably going to play more sports than I realize. But anyways, so, yeah, they don't... The summer doesn't really change how much they play. For me, when I was a kid, it did. My parents didn't really push me like I push my kids, or like my wife and I push our kids to be active. I'm not saying my parents were like, oh, be lazy and be pathetic. But they were like not putting me in sports.
I gotcha.
And so I would go outside and play just because that's what I like to do. But I did have a lot of free time in the house. When I wasn't doing chores, I could just play games.
Yeah.
I definitely think I gamed more as a kid than my kids actually get a chance to game.
I think I did too, because when I think, I know we've talked about this at length, so I won't dig into what games, but thinking back to some of those JRPGs and the longer in-depth PS1 and Super Nintendo games, I feel like most of those memories involve like an open window and it's really hot out. And I feel like those were always summer months, just kind of the memory that I have, thinking back to playing them up until late at night, you know, 3, 4 in the morning, and it's still really warm just because it's that summer night and it's maybe down to 75, you know, at summertime or whatever. So I feel like summertime was my main gaming time. And then, of course, around Christmas when you get the new games, you game for, like crazy for those couple weeks. But
yeah,
for me, that was really exciting. Like, school's finally out. Not only do I have free time to go to my friends' houses and just kind of be up late watching movies, whatever, but also I get a lot more gaming time. And I think we were left a little bit younger to kind of fend for ourselves at a certain point. Although my mom was a stay-at-home mom for a good amount of time there. I do remember having a lot of freedom by the time we hit, you know, 11, 12 years old, something like that. So.
And that's the difference between when I was a kid and when are now currently my kids.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it was until I was about 12 or 13 did my mom get a job. She was a stay-at-home mom. It wasn't until I was in, like, junior high, she became a substitute teacher at my freaking school.
Yes.
So I would have people I didn't even know walk up to me and be like, "Hey, your mom? She's a bee." I'm like, "Oh, thanks, bro. I don't even know your name." But yeah, so she was a stay-at-home mom. So obviously,
wait, if that legit happened, because I know that you, for the most part, can control yourself, but you do have a temper at times. Did you ever snap as a younger guy, like just kind of coming into your own, controlling your temper? Did that ever make you snap?
I was way more laid back when I was younger, and I would say it was, you know, I don't want to get in a deep conversation about this, but it had a lot to do with my insecurity. So I was way quieter. I like to keep my headsets on and just kind of move from class to class and just try to go unseen. So I didn't have much of a temper or even really a personality much because I just kept to myself. So I never really stuck up for myself. So if anybody said something like that, I would just kind of look at them and just walk off.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I got older, got a little bit more mature, confident, and from hanging out with my friend David a lot, I became more of a asshole. And so now I have no problem. Whether it's online or face-to-face, if I have a problem with you, you'll know. So, like, I was totally different.
Yeah, throwing some verbal punches now, whereas back then maybe you just kind of stayed quiet.
Yeah, and I see that with my kids, too. Like, I feel like Eli's skipping that stage. Like, he's going straight to, I just want to beat everybody up now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's brought a tear to my eye once or twice. He's mean.
Yeah, he's real aggressive. Whereas Ian is like, I can tell he's kind of got how I was when I was younger, where he's like, I'll see people mistreat him because he's such a sweet boy. And I'll walk up to him and be like, dude, say something. And I'll be like, oh, no, there's no reason to. And I'm like, oh, I want to punch you now.
Well, for my kids, I don't think a ton's going to change because really only two of them, my older two boys, were actually in, you know, all-day school every day in first grade and in third grade. And so for them, they were already going to bed and between 8 and 9, something like that. That'll mostly stay the same. And then for the younger kids, nothing will change at all. But my oldest son, he's 9, and at least on the weekends, we've been giving him a little more freedom to stay up a little bit later. And I think that might carry over to the summer. Like, he might start seeing his bedtime extended a little bit, stay up and watch a superhero movie with me, or just if he wants to sit up and read. He loves to read Calvin and Hobbes right now. If you guys like Calvin and Hobbes, I freaking love that cartoon strip. And so I have probably 8 or 9 compilation books of Calvin and Hobbes, and so he likes to read those too. So yeah, we're letting him stay up a little bit later. I don't know that his gaming or screen rules will change. We've been pretty good about setting up set amount of time for them to play, and so yeah, I don't think that'll change too much. But man, for me it certainly did, and in the college it definitely did. When I took my last final each year of college, there was like a wave of gaming, and it was usually like an MMO related. That was when I was really into World of Warcraft and played some EverQuest 2 and Star Wars. Yeah, I know.
My brother's like pumping his fist
as
I love Tim.
As we record episode 21 of a video game podcast, he calls me nerd. All right then.
I love my WoW.
So, dude, WoW is an awesome game. So shut up. So there's a big change happening for our family though. Speaking of things that are changing and going into the summertime, we're actually moving.
Timway.
We're moving. That's right. We're moving from Ohio to Colorado. So I've been fortunate enough to get a job that I'm really excited about. So we're making the move out there. And our family's excited, a little nervous, a little apprehensive, yeah. but very excited. And there's going to be a time change there. So the summertime will be perfect for us to and the kids to kind of get used to that 2-hour time shift. John Martin, if you're listening, I'll be closer to your time zone now. So maybe we'll actually be online somewhat at the same time. Jürgen, if you're listening, we'll never be in the same time zone. So sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think you and I are ever going to game now.
Yep, because I'll be starting as you're like falling asleep with the controller in your hand.
So. Pretty much.
But you've gotten used to that this last week or so, because when you're moving, when you're doing stuff like this, you really find yourself way less free time to play. And even when you do have time, everything's disconnected. I mean, I'm at my parents' house right now as we're in this in-between, you know, moving out of our old house, getting ready to move to the out of state. And we're still in Ohio now. We got 2 more days left in Ohio to wrap things up. Everything from school to, you know, my past job and things like that. So wrapping everything up and then heading out. And so now we're just kind of in limbo. We're kind of homeless at the moment before we head out and get to set up our new place. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird spot to be in. So, and I'll go ahead and share with you what I'm playing now because of that. It does adjust what I'm playing. I haven't played Rocket League in about 8 days, 3 hours, something like that. I don't know. It's been about a week, a little more than a week since I've been able to play Rocket League. My parents do have an internet connection, but it's not very fast. It's fast enough for maybe one device to play Netflix without too much of an issue. Other than that, I can't do anything. So I definitely cannot do much online gaming. So I've been playing a lot of, let me see what you put for me here, Barbie's Dress Up. Yep, there it is.
Great game.
Nailed it.
Great game.
Finally got around to Barbie's Dress Up. It was like top of my backlog.
I know you haven't been on our Facebook group as much. I think there was like at least 10, 12 posts about this game by different listeners who were just real excited about its release. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the way they let you dress Barbie up.
They let you do that in my game?
They do, believe it or not. Yeah, believe it or not. I've been playing, guys, let's get serious for a second. I've been playing a lot of The Witcher 3, and that game, it's just reminding me why it was my favorite game of 2015. And in 2016, if it were to have released this year, it'd be my favorite game this year as well. It's so good. So
you know, that's a topic. Sorry, I'm cutting you off, but
no,
I want to say this. Like,
yeah.
That's a topic. Like, I think stuff like expansions that are as big as Blood and Wine, and even like Destiny when they release their big expansion,
Taken
King.
Yeah.
To me, that's stuff that feels like a new release. I know
totally
technically
new game, right?
It's not The Witcher 4, or it's not Destiny 2, but it has that feel like, hey, we're redoing everything. Like, The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine is in a totally different location. It has better graphics. It has a different story, different everything, except that it has
some upgraded,
the title.
Skill systems and ability point usage, things like that. Yep.
Anyways, I didn't want to like go on a big tangent, but it's just something that bothers me. Like, I feel like that's something. I'm not saying you could say it's game of the year, but they should come up with like expansion of the year or something, because a lot of these expansions are not like, oh, here's, you know, 30 minutes of extra content. They're like huge, almost feel like a sequel type expansions.
We're actually going to talk about Blood and Wine as well as another game's big expansion that came out this month. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but I do agree with you that, and I just played Hearts of Stone. That's why I jumped back to Witcher 3. I finally, after owning it for 7 months now, I finally had an excuse to go back and play it. No other distractions, no Rocket League to kind of take me way off on a rabbit trail for a few hours. And so I played Hearts of Stone. Guys, I cannot recommend this enough. If you own The Witcher 3, maybe you played it last summer and then beat it, or you just kind of, you know, stopped at a certain point and moved on from it, I highly encourage you to go back, get your character up to level 30, maybe 35, finish the main game, but then play Hearts of Stone. It's so good. To me, it is right up there with the best moments of the main game. Like, I think of like the Bloody Baron storyline, and even the main storyline, the way it kind of ends in its final act, was really compelling and really emotional and just really good. This Hearts of Stone story, it's got a little bit of a slower pace to it, but the characters are so interesting, and the things they have you do, and there's a variety in the missions, and then that final kind of story turn is just really great. I don't know what else to say about it. It's really great.
I agree. I played it a few months ago.
Yeah.
and I really, really enjoyed it. I think that's why I'm so hyped for Blood and Wine. I don't know if it will be better. I know it's going to be bigger. But I just want to dive back into that. And I've been kind of... Well, I mean, I basically started The Witcher 3 over again. I bought a copy on the Xbox One when it was dirt cheap. I got it for $10. And I was like, why don't we just start a playthrough on the Xbox One? So I started that, and I got about 7 hours in, really enjoying it. And then that was when my wife got addicted to Game of Thrones.
Oh, perfect timing.
Which means she had to take my Xbox One. I have two of them, but she took the one that has access to HBO on it. So she started using that, so she had to log in as me. Now, I have fixed it where I can log in as me now and play it, but after I went through, like, 2 days of not being able to play it, I was like, I want to play this game. So I logged on to my PS4, and I started replaying it there. So
did you do a new game plus?
No, not yet. What I'm doing is I did the main story mission for... Hearts of Cold Stone.
You go, I want some ice cream now.
I want Cold some Stone. Ice cream. Yeah. What's the name of that? Hearts of Stone?
Hearts of Stone, yeah. And they do reference it a lot. It's kind of on the nose a little bit, but in the dialogue, they'll say several things about what's it like to have a heart of stone, you know, that kind of thing. So, but anyway, continue.
So anyway, so I didn't do all of the optional stuff, so I went in and just started playing again because my character's really, really... leveled up. And,
yeah, what level are you on?
I'm almost a 38.
Okay, yeah.
So
where I am, I just hit 38 today as I was playing. So yeah, about
yeah.
The same spot.
So I wanted to keep doing some side stuff. So I did. I've knocked out. I probably played another 3 or 4 hours, not today, but just like in the last couple days. And I completed probably about 5 or 6 side quests. So I'm going to do that for a little bit.
Did you do the ones that are unique to Hearts of Stone? Because some of those side quests were unique to that expansion pack. They were included with
Yeah, I did one. It was a level 33.
Okay, there's some really cool
ones. And it was really hard.
Okay, all right.
Even though it was a level 33 and I'm almost a 38, I was like, wow.
Well, there's one where they send you into this cave and you end up fighting like 12 guys at once and they're all like equal to your level. I died probably 7 times. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
And they're surrounding you and shooting arrows at you, and I can't back away and kind of get my composure quick enough, and I died so many times. I ended up having to run back to the cave entrance and just throw a bunch of northern wind bombs to freeze them, and then just go in and kill 2 or 3 at a time, and then back out, and then throw another northern wind.
That's how I ended up doing it.
Is it really?
I didn't use the freeze bombs, but I had 4 bombs ready to go, used all 4 of them, then went into my inventory, grabbed another 4, and set them up, and then just did the same thing. You know, kept backing away, throwing the bombs, and then while they were, like, I used one that's like a gas bomb, so they were, like, blinded, and that's when I just went in and just chopped them to pieces. But yeah, it was very difficult, because the first 3 or 4 times I was just trying to fight them. Like, legit.
Yeah, I tried a couple things. I tried to climb up on the little balconies to kill the archers first, but that didn't work because one of the drawbacks of The Witcher 3 is sometimes the movement when you're running at full speed doesn't do exactly, kind of like Assassin's Creed style. You're like, well, I didn't mean to jump off the edge there, but okay. So it's a little bit of that at times, and so that happened to me, but I got through it. But the reason I asked is because one of the main side missions, one of the main secondary quests, it might be one of the treasure hunts, it takes you to a little village up in the far northeast of the map, which, by the way, for those of you who haven't played the expansion yet, what they do is, for Hearts of Stone, they don't send you to a new area. They simply build out some of the existing areas on your current map. So a lot of that northeast section now is populated with new villages and new characters to talk to and get quests from. So anyway, you go out there, and there's these guys from that faraway land. They look like they're from their version of Persia or something like that. I forget the name of it, like Ophir or something like that, Ophiri. And when you talk to them, I don't know if you saw this yet or not, but there's actually a brand new type of vendor called a runecraft.
Yeah, I talked to him, I think, when I first started it, because somebody told me to do that.
Yeah, and basically, it's just I know we're going way off here on Witcher 3 talk, but just so you guys know, it's just a really cool way of upgrading your weapons that isn't in the game before. All that to say, let me pull back a little bit. All that to just say, what they've added to The Witcher 3 via these expansion packs has been incredibly impressive. In addition to all their free DLC they've added, everything from little costumes to things like New Game Plus that they've thrown in there, an inventory sorting system, all that kind of stuff. And now with these expansion packs, this is one of the most impressive video games I've ever played. So I'm loving it. There's really no need for anything else right now. So that's the only thing I've been playing. So now
that's
that we've gone...
That's a dirty lie.
That's it. That's the only game that's worth anything right now. So,
I've got a couple more that I've been playing. Game of the Year, Battleborn. We've had several conversations on our
really
group
not.
That I'm basically getting picked on for liking this game.
You're getting bored.
I'm getting tagged in several posts, basically. One of them was like, this was great. It was like, are you stupid? Like, it asks you, are you stupid? Answer, yes. And then it draws a line to Battleborn. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
If your answer is no to if you're stupid, then it goes to ask you another question, are you rich? And if your answer is no, then you play Team Fortress 2. If your answer
free.
Is yes, you play Overwatch. And that was, I believe, Sasan who posted that. But there's just been several posts, like, people just ripping Battleborn to shreds. Most of the people haven't even played it. The only person I'm aware of that hates the game and who has played it was Sasan.
And I think Sasan said he traded it in for free.
Oh,
he just wanted to get rid of it. He just gave it away.
Yeah, he just gave it away because he wanted over Parawatch. I'd actually bought the game day one because I liked the beta, and I really enjoy the game. Now, is it frustrating? Is it perfect? It's definitely frustrating, and it's definitely not perfect. It annoys me sometimes because I just fail so many missions, and then another time I'll pass it with no problem. So, and I don't feel like it's like, oh, you just had a bad team. It just feels like the game's just not very, it's not really balanced real well, and it's just kind of
it's got colorful
mindless,
but yeah.
Mindless, stupid, like shooting at dumb idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, AI, which I don't care. I have fun with it. And the game is, just let me make sure I say this, because so many people are like, Overwatch is better than Battleborn. True, I 100% agree with that, and I'll talk about Overwatch in a second. But they're nothing alike. The only thing that has anything in common is the fact that each game has heroes in it. That's it. There's nothing else alike about it.
Well, aren't they both, they're both first-person shooters, so that's pretty
similar. Well, not really. I mean, they're in first-person views, but Battleborn doesn't have, like, most of the characters are not shooters.
Okay,
like,
there's
a lot of, like, different style characters, and yes, that's kind of true with Overwatch, but most of them have, even, like, your healer characters in Overwatch has a gun. Like, you're still playing a first-person shooter with other abilities. The other game, like, for instance, one of the characters I love, I forgot his name right now. Wrath, I think, is his name. Mm-hmm. All he has is a sword. Like, you can never, ever shoot anything with him. It's not a first-person shooter at all. But anyways, there are similarities. I understand from, like, a high point of view, like, just looking at him going, well, they kind of look the same, and they're all first-person, and blah, blah, blah. But when you actually play the game, Battleborn is really, like, heavy on the MOBA style of gameplay, and it relies on killing endless, like, minions and just kind of doing the same thing over and over. It almost feels like a strike from Destiny.
Okay.
Like, you just kind of repeat, and you just redo everything over and over.
Which is kind
and then
of a
you're,
bummer that it's that way right out of the gate, but, yeah.
Yeah, and then you level up as you play. So, like,
yeah,
when
that's
you
right.
first jump
you
in,
you pull up your little ability chart and add. Yeah,
I
remember that. Yep.
You add abilities, so like you'll start at a level one, and then maybe you kill a couple guys, and then it'll give you a notification letting you know you can level up to the second level, and you keep doing that in game. Overwatch doesn't do that either. Like, you're not in the game leveling up while you play. You level up after the game is done. You get experience, but your character doesn't get any stronger or any better ever in Overwatch. You're just kind of leveling up as a player, not a character. Okay. But anyway, so
what character you use? Okay.
So I like Battleborn, but I think I've hit that point where I've played it for like a couple weeks. Actually, I'm going on 3 weeks, and I've hit that wall where now with The Witcher 3, especially this Tuesday when you guys listen, Blood and Wine will be coming out. I'm done with Battleborn. I think I've moved on. I might dive into it every once in a while, but now I've kind of got my two games that I want to really focus on, and that's The Witcher 3, which I'm playing now, and Overwatch. And I can't tell people, and I know I've made several posts about this, but if anybody's listening that's outside of our little Facebook group world, Overwatch is a game I didn't... It sounds so stupid, like, Derek, why'd you buy it? I didn't think I would like it a lot. I played the beta, and I was like, this is cool, but it's multiplayer, first-person shooter type competitive game only. There's no... There is co-op, like, you are playing with people, but you're playing against other people, so it really just feels like a competitive shooter when you first start playing.
Right.
So that... And again, I'm just talking about when I first started playing. So, why I bought it, I don't know, because you know me well enough as a gamer to know, Derek, you don't care about that crap. So why'd you buy it? Right. So I had $60 of Xbox credit, and I like to pre-order my games, get it over with, mark them off my list, and move forward. Like, that's how I always am. And so I was looking, and this was before Gears had gotten its launch date and pre-order up on the store, and there was nothing on Xbox that was coming out that I wanted. Like, nothing available for pre-order, nothing on sale, nothing. And that was the only game that remotely interested me, and I was like, well, I'll just buy it. So I buy it. I start playing that thing, and that freaking game is amazing. Because
And everyone else owns it on PS4, don't they?
Yeah, and so I'll talk about that in a second. So,
okay.
I bought it on the Xbox One, I start playing it, and it is what you would think it is, but it's so much more, in my opinion. It really, really heavily relies on co-op play, which is very, very important to me. I like to work with people as a team. I like to strategize. I don't like to mindlessly go in circles in an arena and just shoot things. Like, that's Call of Duty, and that's why I don't care about Call of Duty. That's why I don't play it. So...
Well, this was made by Blizzard, too, so it's not like it's someone who doesn't have an amazing track record, you know?
Yeah, and to be fair, I know people are like, well, you know, I know Thomas, one of our group members, was saying, you know, is Blizzard getting a pass because there isn't much content here, yet everybody's praising the game? I'm just going to say this before I start stating my opinion about Overwatch. I'm not a Blizzard fanboy. I don't even think I've ever played a Blizzard game.
Yeah, you just bashed their most successful game in history.
Yeah, who gives a crap about WoW? Except my brother. He's seriously.
I don't know, just like
right
10
now.
Million or whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, all pimple faced nerds. But,
waiting for the living in your parents' basement joke, because that's exactly what I'm doing right now.
Real life servers. Where do I log in? Basically, I have no bias for Blizzard. I know their quality as far as people love their stuff, but I've never experienced it or cared. So when I started playing this, I was like, okay, well, let's just give it a shot because I don't want to feel like I wasted $60. When I walked away from playing it at first, I was like, wow, this is really good. And maybe I just got lucky and I picked a really good character that I work with well, because I've played the game for about 6 hours now. And I've used Reaper for about 5.5 hours.
Okay,
I've only experienced other characters for about a total of 30 minutes. And it's because I just love him. He's perfect for me. Maybe it's because he's just so... I don't know. He's got 2 shotguns, and he just floats around, basically laughing at people he kills, because he's the Reaper. So I really enjoy him as a character, but then I started, like, playing with other characters and realize this game is loaded with great characters. Like, every character I've played with, and I haven't played with them all, obviously, but everyone I've played with, I've been like, I could be good with this person. Like, I never felt like, oh, they're really bad.
Which is great when you got all these different characters and classes.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
So you just kind of have to learn how to use them and use strategy. Like, one of the reasons why I like Reaper, I'll explain it. Yes, he's got the 2 shotguns, which means up close, I'm going to tear you up. if you aren't Reaper yourself, which I've ran into a few Reapers and died, but I pretty much can tear anybody up if I get up close. But even if you've got me backed in the corner, he has a special where he basically becomes invincible, but while he's invincible, he can't shoot either. So it's just like an escape ability. So that's happened a lot of times where I'll see like two or three people shooting at me and I'm like, I'm gonna die, because you can die pretty fast. But it's not like Call of Duty where it's like one shot, you're dead, and you have no idea who shot you. Like, you generally know who shot you, gotcha. And it usually takes a few hits to get your life bar down. But, anyways, what I was going to say is, so, this special ability allows you to basically float away, and you speed up just a little bit, you're a little bit faster than you normally are, to try to get away and get to health or get back to your teammates. And so it's a great, like, little special that they give you. They give you another one where you can teleport away, so you can't be shot while you're teleporting, but they do know where you're going to land, so they can just follow you and then shoot you. But there's all these little things that they've thought about. That's just one character. It happens for every character. Where one of your strengths, you also have a weakness. And then when you're facing off against other characters, you'll see their strengths and their weaknesses. But it's all balanced perfectly. And then you got to think about it. There's 21 heroes they got to do this with. This isn't something.
How many. Okay, 21.
Wow. Yeah, this isn't something that can just be easily done. It is so easy to make when you're creating 21 characters to make OP characters. So far, and there might be people that disagree, I have not ran into any situation where I felt like anybody was OP. Like, even I was telling my brother, I was playing with him last night, and I was getting mad because I was like, the only person who can kill me in this game is damn turret. The turret will just kill you in like 2 seconds. I'm like, I cannot beat him with Reaper. Like, if he spots me, I'm dead. Mm-hmm. And then I was playing with, and I don't know the name of the character, I think her name's like May or something like that. She's probably the ugliest, most boring looking character in the game. But she has this ability to create frozen walls. And I realized when I was playing with somebody that was using her, I was like, holy crap, if they set up a turret, all you have to do is use that hero to freeze a wall in front of it, and then you can pass behind it and shoot it. And we were doing that. Nice. Whoever was using that character was doing that. Anytime they had like a really powerful gun set up or a sniper or something, they would freeze a wall to where they couldn't see us or get to us, and then we could pass through it and then get to the other side.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's all that strategy, it's working together. Like, I played with Mike, another one of our listeners or friends. Actually, I think he said he doesn't listen to our show, so he's kind of a jerk. But he joined
this
in.
This will be
with
his first episode, and you call him out as a jerk. Nice.
Well, it's all about Overwatch, and we name drop you, and he listens, and he's like, great, Derek's going to talk about me. He's a piece of crap. But I was playing with him and my brother, and he kept picking a support class. And all he would do, and I appreciate it, obviously, since he knew I was playing as Reaper, who's an offensive player, is he would just follow me around and put heal on me. And so the entire time, I could run out in the middle and have three people shooting at me, and they couldn't do anything to me unless they took Mike out first.
Just tell you what you're describing. You are describing the very simple but very delicate balance that Blizzard has mastered over the years with games like StarCraft and, of course, World of Warcraft. Even something like Hearthstone, though, that card game, or Diablo, they've found a way to balance these games in a way that basically every option they give you is a legitimately fun and valuable one. It's just a matter of how you want to play. And Blizzard, in my opinion, they're masters at that. Even if you don't like WoW, if you're someone who played it and got sick of it or never liked it, or if you never liked Diablo or StarCraft, you still, if you did experience them at all, you'd have to acknowledge they've got these games balanced really well. Maybe you don't like RTS or MMO games or, you know, battle card games. Maybe their typical genres aren't for you, but their quality and their balance is always fantastic.
Yeah,
so it doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me at all that Overwatch is not only a good-looking game and fun to play, but also that it's balanced and it feels like a fair, like you have value to your team. Doesn't surprise me at all that Blizzard made a game that has that feeling to it.
Yeah, so it's in my opinion, it's the perfect online multiplayer competitive shooter. If you want to just play like Call of Duty type, where to me it's never team-based. Call of Duty just feels like individual type stuff, like go out there and do it on your own. This game, you know, I've had some matches. I think my high right now is I had 30 kills and 9 deaths. And while I can sit there and be like, well, I'm just the man with Reaper, and I am good with him. I am. Like, all my matches I play in, even if my team sucks, I'm always at least 15 kills and no more than 5 deaths. I do good with Reaper. But I'm really good if I have a really good team that works with me, and I work with them. And that's what I love about the game, is like you said, it's balanced beautifully. Where it's really saying, yes, as an individual, you could probably do okay, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you have 2 or 3 people shooting at you, I don't care who you are, what character you're using, you're going to die. It really pushes you to play as a team. And you can tell, like, when you get on a bad team that's not lined up real well, they're not working together, or they didn't do well in the character select, because it even tells you when you're selecting your characters, they'll be like, oh, you don't have a healer. Or you don't have a tank-type character. You might want to do that. You don't have to, but you might want to do that. And I've played with games on teams where we didn't do that. Like, we didn't have a tank, or we didn't have a healer, and we got lit up, like, destroyed.
I'm really intrigued by this game. This is one I'd love to give a try once I'm out of my dial-up country that I'm living in right now.
Yeah.
You've got me sold on it. It sounds like a great, like, one
it
worth
really
trying.
Is. Like I said in the beginning of me talking about Overwatch, I went into it not really caring about it, and it didn't look like it would be the type of game that I would fall in love with, to now I'm so in love with it that I saw almost every single person who was posting how much they love this game was like, I'm playing on PS4, and I'm like, one game that I don't buy on the PS4, because I pretty much buy everything on the PS4. But I was like, nobody's going to play this game. I really didn't think anybody in our community would really care about this game that much. I figured a few people would be like, yeah, I'll play Overwatch.
Yeah, people are loving it.
But everybody's playing it. They're all playing on the PS4. So I had an extra copy of Uncharted 4. My brother doesn't have Uncharted 4. So I started PMing him, and I was like, hey, you want my Uncharted 4? Buy me Overwatch. Now he gets a discount at Best Buy, so it's not like... like, he's paying $60 for it. But, so we did that even trade. I gave him Uncharted 4. He gave me Overwatch for the PS4. So now I have 2 copies of it. And I wanted to have a hard copy, because when it dies down and people stop playing it, I'll at least have it on my Xbox, and I can trade in my PS4 copy.
So, if I'm reading this correctly, it sounds like your goal is to have at least 2 of everything. When your life is over, you want 2 of everything. Is that accurate? Okay.
I believe in the afterlife that you'll be able to take your video games with you.
Yeah, but you can only bring one.
One
copy. So you're trying to trick the system and have 2 of everything.
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
Nice. Well, it's been a great month for games. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's some headlines that I want to cover. By the way, you talked about using that Xbox money for stuff. There's some Xbox games that are coming. I don't know if they'll be this fall, but... things like ReCore and Sea of Thieves. I would have saved that money for that, man, but whatever.
Well, if I would have had a game-sharing friend who would have been like, yeah, I really want to play Overwatch, I would have bought it on there.
Yeah, if only. Man, doesn't exist.
Yeah, that guy does not exist. And now he's not even in my time zone, so screw him.
Yeah, if
that
only he were here to defend himself. Yeah,
he doesn't exist.
So, speaking of when games are coming out, there's been a major delay. And this one was a big one, because I don't think many of us saw it coming. No Man's Sky has been officially delayed until August 9th in North America, and I believe it comes out on the 10th and then maybe the 12th in Europe and overseas.
All right, I'm not as hyped about this game as you and some of the other listeners.
Right.
But it's one of those games where they've done this so many times where I just couldn't care less.
Did you laugh when you saw it, or just shrug when you saw it? Like,
I saw it, part of me was like, fist pumping, like,
yeah.
I'm so glad everybody's gonna get upset about this. So,
yeah.
It's that Reaper mentality, I don't care about y'all, die.
So there were rumors that came out, I believe it was Kotaku who came out with the original story about, you know, new rumors from a credible source that it's going to get pushed back, and then Hello Games announced officially via the PlayStation blog that it's going to be released in August. And according to Murray, sorry, according to Sean Murray, the founder of Hello Games, this is kind of just a summary of what he said. He said, it's coming along well, but there are some key moments that need more polish to bring them up to the developer standards. And he had to make the tough choice to delay the game for a few weeks, he calls it, even though in reality it's almost 2 full months. But you can call it a few weeks if you want to downplay it there, Sean, to allow us to deliver something special. So it's going to come on August 9th in North America, 10th in Europe, and 12th in the UK, which is not part of Europe. Whatever. So, yeah, that was kind of weird. So, and he says, we understand this news is disappointing. Making this game is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. We are so close now. We prepare to make tough choices to get it right. And that I can appreciate. I can appreciate that. But on the other hand, it's hard not to feel just really disappointed by it. It's like, really? Another delay? And neither one of us, unless you have and haven't told me, neither one of us have made a video game before. So I don't know what that process is like internally and what maybe you anticipate these certain steps to take a certain amount of time, and then you even pad it with extra time to complete it all, and then something unexpected happens or something didn't quite complete the way you wanted it to. So I can only imagine the number of things with a game of this scope that they have to keep in line. So that being said, it's still hard not to scratch your head and go, why can't you just pick a release date, even if it's going to be in 2017, just to make sure you get it done? So that's just, I don't know, part of me is just that kind of frustrated fan, you know, who is so excited for this game. It's hard not to feel frustrated by it. But now that it's been a few days, I'm more in the camp of, yeah, whatever, I'll play it in August when it comes out. So at first I was super bummed and kind of frustrated, like, why even bother with the June 21st announcement? If key moments of the game aren't quite right, then wow, they should have known this way ahead of time. But then you just kind of, over the course of a few days, now I'm like, whatever, it'll come out when it comes out. So that's how
I feel. The only thing I can think of is maybe while they were getting closer, maybe something went wrong. Maybe something...
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe they made an adjustment, not realizing that adjustment would cause something else to break or mess up a little bit, and so now they're going to have to tweak that, yeah, balance something.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I will say it kind of sucks because I felt like June 21st was a good release date. I'm not saying August 9th is terrible, but August, you're getting into Deus Ex, which I care about that way, way more than I care about No Man's Sky.
Okay.
So it makes me think that I would have probably given No Man's Sky more of a chance in June, right, whereas now that it's getting pushed back in August, I'll probably like pop it in real quick and be like,
yeah,
don't really care, and then just move on to something I'm more excited for.
Yeah, for me this fall, it's everything from Final Fantasy 15 to Mafia 3, which I'm getting really amped about with that new trailer that came out this past week. And then, of course, Horizon, if it does happen to land this fall, I'm excited for that one too. So this is a bummer, but there wasn't anything else in August that I know of that I was excited about. So I'm glad they didn't say it's coming out now in October, because then we would have had a situation like last fall, when you've got everything shoved into that one little window of time, and that was tough. So anyway, so No Man's Sky is delayed. That was pretty big news, and for the most part, that the reactions to that have died down, and now it's August 9th. So if they delay it again, the internet might explode. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of people coming out with games and a later time frame that we thought, Rockstar. Everyone was anticipating a major Rockstar announcement at E3, and we still might get one, or maybe before E3 even. But they've come out and they've said that the very earliest you'll get a new game from us is April 2017. There was a lot of speculation that they might try to pull a Bethesda and drop a Fallout 4 type of an announcement. Here it is, and it's coming out this fall. But they didn't. So they're not going to, I should say.
Yeah.
To put it. So April 2017 is when the next time we could possibly see, the earliest we could possibly see, the next Rockstar game. So that's not necessarily huge news, but it is worth just kind of mentioning. Don't expect some major Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead or even a L.A. Noire follow-up type announcement for this fall. But give me your prediction. Which franchise, whether it's an existing one or a brand new one we've never heard of before, will be Rockstar's next major game?
I think it's going to be Red Dead 2, but I don't know. I think, or they're going to do a new IP. Yeah. I know I was listening to yes, I love you, and they think it. They want Red Dead 2, which I think 99% of the people who like Rockstar stuff wants Red Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. I do.
But I think it's going to be a new IP.
Okay.
I think they've got something up their sleeve for us. Or I hope they do. I'm not saying I don't like their past stuff. I'm not a Rockstar fan. Like, I'm not a big Rockstar studio fan. Like, I love GTA 3, and then it went downhill for me personally. I understand the games got better, but for me, I didn't care about the games anymore.
Yeah.
Even GTA 5, I bought that on the Xbox 360, got about 40% the way through, stopped.
Oh, man.
Then bought it again on the PS4, got about 50% through, stopped. I couldn't beat the game because I'm just
that game.
I just don't care about the characters, and it's kind of hard to get through it. But, and then Red Dead, the original Red Dead, I probably got, I don't know how far I got, but maybe 60, 70% through, quit, and stopped. And then the ending got ruined for me, which is kind of funny because by it getting ruined actually gave me a desire to play it.
Just to see how it gets to that point.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I didn't expect that.
Oh, yeah. It's quite a moment the way it ends, yeah.
So,
Or not really.
So
ends,
I actually bought a digital copy on the PS3. It was $4.50 last weekend.
Wow.
And then I saw on Xbox Live it was $7.50 on the 360. So I went ahead and bought that, and the reason why is my hope, because it was already released in error for one day.
Oh, for backwards compatibility.
Right. Yeah, that it's going to come to the Xbox One because, like I said, it already leaked for one day. People were able to download it and play it on their Xbox One. And then Microsoft, like, for some reason, took it down, took it off. But that tells me they were already testing it and working it.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it will become backwards compatible. And I also think the next Rockstar game will be a Red Dead game. Just like Revolver and Redemption before it, it won't be a numbered sequel. It'll be another new title, Red Dead something. So, I'll be very excited to see that. I loved Red Dead Redemption. It was one of my favorite games last generation. I'm the opposite of your opinion on Rockstar. I think they've gotten better with every game.
I think they've gotten better with every game. I don't care about their stuff.
Right. No. I guess I should say even more specifically to me, I've enjoyed their games more every game. So, like, I personally have gotten more into it every game. Yeah.
And as I've gotten to know you, your opinions have gotten worse and worse and worse.
No, that took a dark turn. That hurts. That hurts me deeply.
It's all the bitterness from this move to Colorado realization. You will not be playing Rocket League anymore.
Oh, I will be, but you'll be playing till 3 a.m. now.
I have to adjust.
You do. So, The Shadows of the Eternals. This is a game that they attempted a crowdfunding about 2, maybe 3 years ago, and then it failed. It was
several times, too.
So it's Dennis Dyack. He's the guy who created Eternal Darkness that... I guess I don't know if it's a hit, but it certainly was. It's looked back on as one of GameCube's best games.
I think it sold like over a million copies.
Did it? Okay.
Which for a GameCube game, that's good because the GameCube only sold like 20 million consoles.
And it's a mature horror survival type
of
game.
It did pretty good for what it released on and the style of game it is. And the funny thing is as much love and praise it's gotten, I've never actually played Eternal Darkness.
Well, I'm interested.
I own the GameCube, and I love Resident Evil, and I never played it.
I'm interested in what this spiritual successor they're calling it would be. Although I wasn't really all that hot on the follow up games that Dennis Dyack that I can remember made. Wasn't he responsible for Too Human? I feel like he was the Too Human guy, and I didn't like the game at all. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But just so you guys know,
He's very hit and miss. Him and his studios that have worked on games, you really don't know what you're going to get. If you look at all the games they've released, they're all very different from each other, so that kind of makes sense.
Right.
It's like, if you just stick with what you're good at, maybe he would be more hit than miss.
Well, apparently he's come out and he said it's not dead, even though the crowdfunding was a fail. It's still going to be... don't know if it's in development or up going to go into development, but he did confirm that it's going to have the same style of Eternal Darkness in that you play as characters from a bunch of different time periods that are kind of all part of the same story. Not, it's not a time travel story. For those of you who have played it, you know what I'm talking about. There's, you just simply play as different characters from different time periods. So if you play as someone from the Spanish Inquisition, for example, and you do something, and then when you jump back to the modern day person, they'll see the effects of that as they're exploring the ruins of wherever the other person was. So it's interesting. It's all done with that kind of horror jump scare, trying to survive type of a setting. So it's very, very good. I thought it was very creative too, with the cool story. So I'm curious about Shadows of the Eternal. So this is more of like a PSA than anything else, just letting you guys know, hey, that game's still alive if you're into that, and if you were into Eternal Darkness. But I definitely would have a little bit of reservation with expecting too much just yet, just because of his track record since then. But very cool. It was kind of sad when I heard that they didn't hit their crowdfunding goal. So it's nice to hear that they're still planning on something there. So, all right. So we touched a little bit on some of the games that came out this month. So we are here at the end of May, and May almost felt like a November. So, but it feels like November, not only in terms of weather, but also in terms of game releases. It's been really strange that I can't think of a May that's had this many heavy hitters all at once. So what I wanted to do was just go through some of the heavy hitters, and not only were there a lot of great games, there were actually a good number of really disappointing games that people were looking forward to and just didn't land one way or the other. So I just pulled out a handful, not even close to the full list of May releases, and I wanted to get your thoughts in general. We've talked about some of these already at length, so we can just skip through some of them. But I just want to get your reactions to what the month of May, how this month went for you, what your personal thoughts are on some of these games. So let's just get right into it. The first one we've already talked about was Battleborn. And
the only thing I would add there is, while I liked it, I think a few shows ago I called it that Battleborn would be a failure.
Yep.
And I think it is a failure. I don't have any numbers on it, but I laughed. I even made a post. I was like, basically, laugh out loud, this game is already on sale. It's only been out for like 3 weeks, and right, it's already dropped from $60 to $40 at all stores. Like, I saw GameStop had it on sale, Best Buy had it, mm-hmm, and so even with Gamers Club Unlocked, it would drop to $32 for somebody.
Yeah,
that's half off, and the game's only been out for a couple weeks. So I wasn't surprised. I was a little surprised it was already on sale that fast, but I'm not surprised that it kind of bombed, because I feel like it was just a stupid mistake. Like, why not just make Borderlands 3? Why make a game that looks like Borderlands but doesn't play like Borderlands?
Right.
And just upset all your fans. Like,
or if
know,
you had, if you really had to make this type of a game, it could have been, and this is probably a dumb idea, but something like Borderlands Battles, where it's that still that same type of online MOBA-esque first-person game, but just set it in a familiar world with characters we know, in the setting that we know, with weapons that
it's
we recognize.
Actually a genius idea.
So it didn't have to be a Borderlands 3 mainline story game. It could have been a spinoff of a popular franchise, but whatever. They didn't do that. They did Battleborn. So a week later, Uncharted 4 came out. And if you haven't listened to it yet, I encourage you, well, first of all, go play the game. It's one of it's one of my favorite games this year. It's remarkable. And so we did a spoiler cast last week, and in episode 20 of our podcast here, we did a full and complete spoiler cast of the entire game, and I loved that game. I think you did too, so go listen to that for our full thoughts on Uncharted 4. And then, just a few days after Uncharted 4 came out, this little game called Doom dropped. So I know you've played some Doom. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. There's been a few nights that I intended to, and I just didn't get to it with packing and everything, but tell me just real quick your thoughts on the Doom reboot.
I think it's phenomenal. I mean, I think it's a great game. It plays really well. It's real aggressive. It's got an aggressive soundtrack. It's a very beautiful game, too. I mean, it's not, like, artistically beautiful, but it's, like, the graphics are great. It runs smooth, 60 frames per second. I mean, I honestly can't think of another developer who makes first-person shooters, and I'm only talking about gameplay here, makes first-person shooters any better than id Software.
Well, yeah,
I really,
Wolfenstein
I can't
was
think of
brilliant.
I just can't think of anybody who does it better.
Yeah.
Their mechanics, and again, I'm only talking gameplay, are flawless. Mm. So while I don't really care about, and yes, there is a story in Doom, people that say there is no story is stupid. There is a story. While I don't really care about it or about the characters, it's not like I'm playing Uncharted 4 here. The game is fun enough to actually like want to keep playing. Now, that being said, the first thing that we talked about is, what are you playing now? And I didn't say I'm playing Doom. I'm not currently playing it. I played the first three chapters, really enjoyed it, didn't get frustrated, still liked it, but got sidetracked because I was trying to finish Uncharted 4. I felt like I had to play Battleborn.
Right.
And then
you felt obligated. Kinda, oh, man.
I did. I really did. And I liked it, but I also, you know,
nope,
I wanted to play
with
people.
We're done with Battleborn. We're done with Battleborn.
Now I'm done with Battleborn.
Yeah, move on.
But now you've got Overwatch, The Witcher 3. I don't know if realistically, and I told Jesse this, who's a big Doom fan.
Yeah, Jesse
probably
loved
game
it.
Of
I think
the year.
He, yeah, he beat it pretty early on. Yeah, he liked it.
Yeah, there's been a few of our listeners and guys in the group who've played, beat it, love it. Like, they're even talking about it being their game of the year.
That's great. Yeah, that's cool.
So it's a really good game.
It's very fast-paced.
It is. It's
very,
real intense.
It's quick and fun. Like, fun in a violent way, fun. So not like... It's not like they're cracking jokes every few seconds, like Borderlands style. But it's just a fun, violent shooter to play.
Yeah, it's not... It's not overly heavily... You're not thinking too much. So if you're in one of those moods where you're like, man, I just want to play a game, but I want to relax, and I don't want to overthink.
You just want to play a video game.
Yeah, then I think this is the game for you.
And then TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just came out. I'm kind of not going in perfect order here, but TMNT came out to, at best, mediocre reviews. It looks like hovering right in the high 40s on the average scores out of 100.
Weird, because I think Transformers reviewed better, and I could be wrong.
Not much, though. I think it was in the 60s, maybe? I could be wrong about that.
And to me, TMT plays... It's made by the same developer, a Platinum Games, and it plays very similar.
Did you get it? Did you buy it?
I haven't bought it. I actually had planned to, and then, again, trying to be a little bit smarter with my purchases instead of just buying everything day one, I only buy... 4/5 of the games I was going to buy.
Baby steps.
But with all the games that I've got and stuff that you've been buying, I knew I would buy it, play it, and go, I like it, then never play it
well,
again.
Well, it's obviously a very big license. It's a major action game developer in Platinum Games, and so there was some fairly high expectations for that, even though I think most people understood it was going to be more of a smaller title, like a downloadable only type title, but a little disappointing based on the reviews that I've read. And then, of course,
I think the price point for me is $20.
Is it 40?
It drops to 20. Well, it's 50 brand new.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that needs to come
down. But if I can get it for like 20, I'll buy it.
And then, of course, Overwatch we already discussed, but it's definitely one of the biggest hits this spring. The beta was timed perfectly right during the release of Battleborn. I mean, just a smack in the face to Battleborn. But that beta hyped people up. And so the entire month of May, everyone's just counting down the days till the official release of Overwatch. So well played by Blizzard, by Activision Blizzard, and they are, I'm sure, cleaning up on that game. Let's talk about two big pieces of DLC that came out in May, or at least one of them is about to come out here at the end of May. The first one is now available, and that is the Far Harbor DLC or expansion pack for Fallout 4. Now, of course, you're a Fallout 4 gamer. You've played all the way through. I have not. Do you know anything about this yet, other than what we've all read about it? Have you played it yet?
This is another one that I wanted to buy that I held off because of everything else.
It'll go on sale, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not reviewing that great, and it kind of made me happy I didn't buy it. Not because I'm saying it's bad, but the reviews that I watched or read, they all complained about the same thing, like this little mini game that's kind of forced into it, and that they didn't like it, and you were kind of like, well, maybe they'll just make you play it for a little bit, and then you can move on, and if you like it, you keep doing it. If you don't, you can move on. And apparently Far Harbor doesn't do that. It forces you to play it for a good while. So I was like, I don't really want to deal with that.
Well, I know that that Nate Bacon from our group has been playing it, so if you guys want to find out more about it, you could ask him. Ask him what he thinks about it.
Eventually I'll get it, but it's again, it'll be another one I buy on sale.
Well, one that I'm very excited about will be out by the time most of you are listening to this, and that is The Witcher 3's final expansion, Blood and Wine. And that is going to be... That's been reviewing fantastically. I think the embargo came up this past week, at the end of the week. And the reviews have started pouring in, and they're all up in the high nines, or, you know, high 90s, I should say. Just very much like Hearts of Stone was in terms of scores. And I loved Hearts of Stone, as we already shared. And so I'm very excited for this, not only for what sounds to be very high quality a game and the things that they've improved and added to the actual gameplay itself, but also the 20 to 25 hours of content and additional maps and areas to explore and brand new characters. It's going to be very exciting. So we'll talk more about that when we get a chance to actually play it. There were two main remasters that were released this month, Valkyria Chronicles Remastered and Shadow Complex Remastered. Now, I think we mentioned Valkyria Chronicles once before, but neither of us have really played it a ton back in the day. Is that safe to say?
No, yeah, I only played a little bit. I have it on PC now.
Okay, I know.
So that's basically the remaster version.
The general word I'm hearing on that is, yeah, it's Valkyria Chronicles, and it's a prettier version of it. So if you,
yeah, it's a story-heavy, story-heavy game.
Yeah.
And it looks to be up my alley. Like, I played a little bit, but like I'm saying, something that if I ever want a slower pace JRPG type game, that would be the way to go.
That'll be a flash sale purchase as soon as that hits that.
Either
flash.
That for me, or I'll actually play it on my PC since I bought it for $5.
Oh, there you go. And then Shadow Complex. I love that game. It's a great Metroidvania side-scrolling game. It came out on the 360 back during their Summer of Arcade special they used to run every summer. And that's when I bought that. And I really liked it. It was a little bit floaty, and it wasn't a perfect Metroidvania clone, but it was still very good. And it kind of had a fun government conspiracy storyline. It was good. I liked the shooting in it, too. And so it's nice for PlayStation owners to have access to that too. It's not just for Xbox One. It's spreading the love across multiple consoles now. So check that out if you haven't played it yet. I've heard good things about the way they've updated Shadow Complex. And I do believe that Chair is hard at work on Shadow Complex 2, which they had shelved for a little while, but apparently now is back on in the development cycle. So they're going to be working on Shadow Complex 2. So very cool. The last two are games that I know there were some decent expectations for, if not great expectations for, and both seem to be disappointing to most people, and that is Shadow of the Beast, who, by the way, I know Sasan has been playing it and likes it.
Sasan has terrible taste, obviously.
And Homefront the Revolution, which has been getting universally panned for not only being not fun to play and performing horribly, but also for having a really bad story, which is surprising. I thought that was the one strength that the Homefront games would bring, but so both of those games have been coming out a little disappointing. Any thoughts on those?
I mean, Shadow of the Beast, I don't care about like that. I would never play it. Homefront, that was another one that
you almost
you and I have
that,
talked
right?
about. Yeah, I really wanted that game. I really wanted it to be good. I had read some good stuff. I'd read some bad stuff. But I had read some good stuff in preview build saying that the game's better than what people think it is. It plays like Far Cry type game, and I was like, okay, now I'm really sold.
Yeah, that's what kind of got me interested, yeah.
Yeah, and then I made the decision. I was like, look, you got tons of games in May. Wait for a review.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of started getting antsy because I was like, man, no reviews are coming out. Nobody's saying anything. And so I can't pre-order it, which I know some people are like, pre-ordering is stupid, who cares? But I like to pre-order because you get the bonuses and stuff like that. So I waited, and the reviews came out and just destroyed it. And I check PC prices all the time, and this game was like pre-ordering at $45 at CD Keys. And within 1 week, the game had already dropped to $30.
Yeah, that's
and awesome. I actually wrote CD Keys, or wrote a comment, and I know they read them. I said, you drop it to 20, I'll buy it, but I'm not buying it for any. And that was what other people were writing. They're like, this game's garbage, drop it to 20. So I think CD Keys will drop it real soon. But
yeah,
the game is going to fail.
That's too bad.
It's going to fail.
Yeah. Well, it's been a big month of May, and as we just talked about, I know very rapid fire here with all these major game releases. Did I miss any major ones, by the way? I know there were other games, but did I miss any major releases that you could think of?
I can't think of anything else.
Just looking at that list, that looks like a holiday season month of releases right there. Just the list of developers involved with these major games. It's huge.
Just May, and I know people. I saw some people saying, "Oh, June and July are going to be slower." And now I know with No Man's Sky being delayed, it does make it look even more slower. But there's, and we're not going to do it right now. But there's some good stuff.
There is some good stuff,
smaller JRPG style games coming out in June, July that I'm super hyped for. I Am Setsuna, and then Star Oceans is supposed to release in June. So those are games that I'm like, ooh, I really want this.
Seventh Dragon VFD Code 3.
Whatever. Terrible name.
I know, it's the worst.
Terrible name.
All right, cool. Well, listen, we are going to break, and we'll come back. For those of you who are listening right now, it'll be next week. We're going to come back and talk about the sixth generation of consoles. We had planned on doing this a week or two ago, but we're finally getting to it. We are going to talk about one of the biggest generations of consoles. And that was the PlayStation 2, Xbox, Dreamcast, and GameCube. And we actually got some great listener additions. And so we'll be playing some of the audio that a few people sent in for us, including a very surprise special guest. You guys won't believe who's one of our avid listeners. It's going to be great. So we'll check in with you next week. Thank you guys for listening, and we're out.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
You're eating into my Overwatch time.